Tuesday afternoon. Rich Kimball, Gary Haskell here with you. Downtown brought to you by Cross Insurance, where security meets strength. Our friend Dennis Price has the entertainment report a little later this hour. We'll talk with Peter Asher about his new book, The Beatles, A to Z. And out of the box, we welcome in writer Colin Fleming, who joins us. Colin, good to talk with you as always, sir.
Well, I could do with some security and some strength. How are you, my friend?
I would take some of that myself, no question about that. You've been pretty busy lately cranking out the op-eds, and interesting in a couple of ways, because a lot of times those are done by people employed by the various news outlets along the way. And you're also saying some things that are, I guess I would say, a little bit controversial, but you're not getting much blowback from people because it's hard to argue with the truth.
It's hard to argue with the truth when it's expressed in a certain way that approaches the definitive, especially if people have to put their name attached to whatever it is they're trying to say in terms of that blowback. So what ends up happening is I say things in the most public of spheres in all of America. You can't get really much more public than something like the Wall Street Journal, which is either the first or the second highest circulation newspaper. It's either that or USA Today. They switch, I guess. But I can't get arrested for love or money with the things that I say. I can't even get in trouble. Not that I'm trying to get in trouble, but I certainly have no truck with going out there and saying things that people won't even say when they're self-medicating on their Twitter account late at night and they're using some burner account. I go out and I say it and I attach my name to it, and next to nothing happens usually.
Well, you wrote recently in Wall Street Journal about mansplaining, which I thought was a ridiculous concept to begin with, and you shed some light on that and the fact that, hey, it's not just men. There's just a lot of awful people out there in the world.
Yes, and I think people out there listening will now nod their heads sagaciously when I say that people in general suck, and there is that Flannery O'Connor notion of a good man is hard to find, which you probably get in trouble now because it's gendered, but a good person is certainly hard to find. I think we don't normally run across people in our lives. I think we have to put forth real effort to meet people who will give back to us in ways in which we might give to them, who behave in modes that are consistent, whether they have their 8,000 absolutely meaningless Twitter followers with their eyeballs upon them. By the way, downtownians, I'm still at like 60. You can follow me. I put up good stuff. Or if they are in the privacy of their own apartment building, or they're walking into the 7-Eleven late at night and there's some elderly woman behind them. And I find that most people will not behave the same way in those contrasting cases. So the idea that men lecture and speak down their noses to women is, of course, true, because that's what women do. That's what people do. And in this piece in the Wall Street Journal, I talked about how the issue was more one of human-splaining. I do something, as regular listeners will know by now, that is unique. I go into the Bunker Hill Monument, and I run up and down that bad boy many a time, 15 times this week thus far, even though I took today off because I just too low to even move. And there are women, oftentimes corpulent women, who will lecture me on how foolhardy I am to think I will even make it to the top once at that pace. And it's like, okay there. I've passed you 7 times, but thank you, my unobservant friend, for your kindly lecture. And it's just as apt to be a woman as it is to be a guy. In fact, in the monument, it's more often a woman. A guy will corner me at a Christmas party, the lone one I go to each year, and lecture me on the best Star Wars film and what I really should be listening for with the Beatles. And again, you go to the site, you know my work, you know what I do. It's like, maybe I don't need to be telling him. It's like bringing Coles to Newcastle, telling me about the whole Beatles stuff. So that's been my experience as someone who walks around by himself. And it was something I said in the Wall Street Journal. And really, I didn't get anything from anybody save some guys who were like, thank you for saying this. I'm too scared to say it in my own life or to my wife. And actually quite a few things from women saying, yes, that's true. I didn't get a single nasty note or even a vaguely critical one. So by all means, people out there, have at me. I'm in peril, but have at me.
Let's talk about Oscar the Grouch. You wrote about him in one of your op-eds and the notion of critical thinking. What can we learn from Oscar the Grouch?
I will tell you where I do get the blowback. I get the blowback by dint of actually doing this, which you alluded to, because no one shows up repeatedly in the major op-ed sections of this country's newspapers. It's not what you do. You're either on staff somewhere and you get an obscene amount of money like that Brooks guy at the New York Times to just crank out that meaningless elitist dribble.
Yeah.
Or you show up once in a place. You're either just someone who happened to get in there, or you're this go-to authority on rockets, and we've just done something with the rocket. So I will get hatred within my industry because I am turning up in these high public, high-profile venues. So what I wrote about Oscar the Grouch was he just had his 50th anniversary, and when he launched himself into the world via his can, he was vermilion-colored. He was not green-colored, like he had been dipped in the fiery tongues of hell, which I like. But we hear so often now this idea that if you think critically and you say, look, this is rubbish for these reasons, and you walk through the reasons, and you're in perfect control, you're not screaming at anyone or anything of that nature, you get branded as intense, which is a very bad pejorative right now. You do not want to be that. I think, really, you have to be that if you're living your life and you're living it to the full amount of its possibilities. But we tend to just go off on people who are critical of things. And I find that the more things you're passionate about, the more things you're an expert in, the more things you're apt to be critical of. You're going to say, like, okay, I know, take the Beatles again, they're doing this, some Beatles for sale, and it's a thumbnail and they're fatigued, but it works because of these things, and maybe Jerry and the Pacemakers aren't so great. You can kind of go through that. It doesn't make you a bad person or a negative person, or I was going to say negative Nancy, but again, the gendering, a negative Ned, whatever one wants to call it, is simply that you're aware of things. It's the art, the lost art of being what I call a good grouch. Now, Oscar, he lived the life. He was an aesthete. He had the Doctor Who thing going on. He picked the lid off his can, and he's like, oh, yeah, well, I have my book club over today, and later we're going to the museum, and you hear some elephant running down in this annex because it's bigger on the inside. He was into stuff. So when he said, no, that garbage over there is real garbage. It's not the good stuff over here. There was credence to his voice. He was a thinking, intuiting, Socratic grouch. And that's a lost art right now, something we've really gotten away from.
And what can Oscar the Grouch teach us about respect?
Yes. The idea that, look, I respect you. I respect you because of the person you are, and that was immediately clear to me, as vague as these things can be, and I guess we never really know someone. Everyone who's ever been through a hellish divorce or something like that knows that. Maybe your best friend has betrayed someone, but we still think we have a pretty good idea. And I had respect for you right away. You were candid with me, and I thought, this is not someone who really has to hide behind any pretense or something like that. But I decided to give you that. I didn't give you that because, oh, hey, here he is. He's showing up. He's letting me come on his air. That didn't really mean a lot to me. I don't feel that we should dole out respect like it's some performance trophy in the age of feeling, that there's still accountability and there is still the notion that things can be earned and there's still right and wrong. And even when it comes to the person we are or strive to be, it is often still a case of a kind of ethical meritocracy. And so if I respect someone, that is me saying, I am going to be vulnerable to them. I am going to extend myself to them. My friendship, I am going to be there for them and try to allow them to be there for me, which is hard for me. So I think that's the notion, too, that Oscar encapsulates. Don't just give this out willy-nilly. It means nothing. If we give something out willy-nilly, unless it's our charity or alms to the poor, it really means nothing. It means something when someone earns respect, and we earn their respect back.
Couldn't agree with you more. Colin Fleming with us here on Downtown. You've got a new piece, and I have to confess right up front, I had not heard the term manspreading until you shared it with me. Can you explain for the uninitiated what manspreading is, and then shoot it down as it deserves to be shot down?
I feel bad because some of this stuff, like, I take a course in this life with everything I have to deal with. that I will avoid finding out what something is all about, because I have a pretty good idea that it's going to upset me. Like, I never learned what the Hunger Game was. I don't want to know. I figure, like, right? You know me. That's probably going to be like, oh, that's not going to make him happier than us. That might push him over the edge. So this idea, and people, women, take photos of men on things like the T here in Boston, where the guy is sitting in his seat, and he's spread out. His legs are spread out. He's halfway into the seat next to him. And this is called manspreading, the scourge of our times, which really is lubricant for the misandry wheel, as I look at it. I think that sexism is cyclical. And right now, it's in vogue to be critical of men for the exact same thing that women do. Because people do the exact same thing. They're not that different. And that bothers a lot of people because they want to have that disconnection in the separate categories. But I'm sorry, we are all in the same right now, horrific, lumping category. So, I'll be out at the Starbucks, and I am not someone, can you imagine me if I was this kind of person? Like, hey, Colin, what did you do today? Well, you know, Rich, I wrote a story that I think can last for the next, like, several thousand years. Then I would hop down to the Starbucks, and I took out my phone, and I took a photo of a woman with her bag on the chair, so I had nowhere to sit, and then I popped that up on the social media for some likes. Well, that is what women do. They have a bag, they have a coat. Woman, I was at the Starbucks, she has her coat draped over the seat next door. It's the only seat in there. I'm not trying to cozy up to this lady. I'm alone. I've accepted it. And I said, do you mind if I sit there? And she says to me, well, that's my coat. I'm like, well, yeah. She says, it's big. And I'm like, how the hell do I respond to this? I'm like, yeah, it's prodigious. But that was the end of the conversation for her. I'm thinking to myself, if I was just a little bit spread into the next seat and I don't do that, she would have me up on Twitter. And I'm on the T the other night coming back from the symphony. Do you know how many people get up when an elderly person comes on the train or a pregnant woman? I have a fact for you. It's zero.
Yeah.
Nobody's getting up. I'll get up, but everyone's staring at their phone and pretending not to see, and they do not give a rat's ass about that person on there. It's like, why are you pretending that you're like this moral crusader and it's the Middle Ages and you're bringing back all of this goodness to the world when it's like, man, you're toxic. Work on you instead of the postings on social media. So, yes, that's what I wrote about. And again, anyone, come at me. I don't even care at this point. If you come at me, put your name on it and also tell me where I'm wrong. Tell me where it's like, yeah, you know what? That is just guys. It's not women, too. You are awful, Fleming. It's like, fine, let's do this. Lay on.
The challenge is out there. The gauntlet has been thrown down. Who will respond to Colin Fleming? Check out all of his work at ColinFlemingLit.com, and we'll do our thing again next week. Thank you, Colin. Stop spreading your stuff everywhere.
All right, my friend. Thank you.
It's Colin Fleming. Tuesdays on Downtown 17 after 5 o'clock. Coming up, Dennis Price with an entertainment.